In your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, Acts chapter 20, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1178. We'll start with verse 32 and read through the end of the chapter. Acts 20, verses 32 through 38, page 1178. And as we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Reading the verses responsively, noting, please, the 35th verse, which is the text verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And the final verse reading together also, please. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And let's pray. How we thank thee, Lord, that once again we're in the place that you've blessed so often. You've blessed our meetings. You've blessed Sunday by Sunday, week in and week out, year in and year out. And so we come to this service. Thou dost have a special use for this service. And so we pray that you'd use thy word and the messenger of thy word for our good and for our help. And so blessed we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, Father, here we are in this unusual blessed season of the year. And sad to say, many of us have not caught on yet really what it's all about. And as I speak tonight on this text, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I pray you'd help us to see it in its true perspective. And may we do more than see it and believe it, but may we live it. Amen. The word blessed in this verse means a larger and a longer happiness. If you want a larger and a longer happiness, more happiness now and for it to last longer, here's the way you get it. The word give means, in fact, in the Bible, it's translated many ways, commit, yield, grant, minister, offer, put, set, to show, to suffer. Many of those are words, among many others, that come from the Greek word in our text tonight, the word give. The word receive means to take, to obtain, to accept. So may I give you what the verse says. It is a longer and larger happiness to commit and yield and grant and minister and offer and put and set and show and suffer than to take, to obtain, and to accept. I'm not going to be very preachy tonight. My voice may not rise above the volume it is right now. This will not be a sermony kind of message. But I want everybody to hear as I speak from this text. I got my Greek New Testament down and all the books that I have that I use to deal with Greek words and so forth. And I read the verse in the Greek, and I checked every other verse in the Bible that I could find, or New Testament, where the Greek word was used here. And I've found that this verse means more than just it's more blessed to take something that you have and give it to somebody else than it is for somebody to take what they have and give it to you. Now, that's implied. Let's talk. But there's more to it. There's a lot more to this verse than that. And tonight I want to share with you what this verse really means. There are four statements I'm going to make, and all these statements are embodied in this one little line. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the first thing it means is what it says. It is better to give than to receive. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is. It really is more blessed to give than to receive. I know what it is to receive. And in some small sense, I have learned a little bit about what it is to give. I know what it is for Christmas time to come, for my mother to say, "Son, let's go down to the railroad track." We used to call it streetcar track, is what it was, interurban track and streetcar track. And I know what it is on Christmas Eve. Now, Christmas Eve to us was all day, the day before Christmas. To most people, it's the night before Christmas, and I guess really that's it. But we call the day before Christmas Christmas Eve. And I know what it is for Mother and I to ask the Lord to help us to find some Coke bottles beside the railroad track. Young girls, no talking while I'm preaching, please. I want everybody to hear me. This is so vital. It's more to it than just bothering somebody else. I want you to get this. I want you to hear it. I know what it is for Mother and I on the day before Christmas to walk down the interurban tracks and the streetcar tracks trying to find some Coke bottles so we could sell them for 2 cents apiece and maybe get enough to have a half a dollar or so to have something for Christmas. We did not know. I didn't know. We were poor. Mama did. I didn't. I guess I thought everybody was on railroad tracks hunting for Coke bottles. But I didn't know. I know what it is to hear my mother pray before bedtime on Christmas Eve for God to give her boy Christmas. And I know what it is through the night to be awakened with the ring of the bells and the shout of the ho-ho-ho of the old man, fat man in the red outfit. And somebody to say, "We have some presents for little Jackie Boy Hines." I know what it is to see him as he unloads the presents. I know what it is to see Christmas dinner placed on the table just about noon on Christmas Day. I also know what it is. To go to somebody's house who's not going to have any Christmas and be the fella who's got the bag over his shoulder and to be the one who puts the food on the Christmas table and to see the faces of little boys and girls who are about to face no Christmas whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to announce to you I've been on both sides. A lot of you folks have never been on both sides. Most of you have never been on the receiving side of that kind of endeavor. But I know I've been there. And I serve notice to you tonight that it is more fun to be Santa Claus than to have Santa Claus come to see you. And I know I've been on both sides. I know what it is to face Christmas without Christmas and for somebody to supply. And I know what it is to see somebody else face Christmas without Christmas and to be the supplier. And I'm announcing to you tonight, not because in the Bible, not because a preacher's supposed to say this, I'm announcing tonight, It is more blessed to give than to receive. If any area in this world gives opportunity for this blessedness, it's this great Calumet, Chicagoland area. You can find somebody that won't have a Christmas if you want to. They're everywhere. I know what it is to have somebody come to my house and say, I want to take you somewhere, son. A teenage boy never owned a pair of shoes of my own except hand-me-downs that somebody gave me. I know what it is, a teenage lad, have somebody come and say, I'm going to take you down to the outlet shoe store on Elm Street in Dallas. I walked by it just the other day and remember this experience. And set me down there and say, put a pair of shoes on this boy's feet. And I know what it is to wear a beautiful, new, shiny pair of shoes that somebody else bought for me when I never had any shoes. I know what it is for that somebody to take me to Reynolds Penland Men's Store, boys' department, and say, put a nice suit of clothes on this teenage lad. I know what it is to own my first real boys' suit as a teenage lad. I've been on the receiving side. Ladies and gentlemen, I always also know what it is to find some little tyke who's never owned a pair of shoes of his own. Take him down to a shoe store and say, pick you out a pair, son. And take him down to the men's department or boys' department of a store and say, son, choose the suit that you want. I know what it's like. You ask any little child that's ever picked a flower from the yard for mommy whether it's more blessed to give or receive. You ask any little child who's ever taken a Crayola and drawn a picture of a house, his own concept of Santa Claus, and made a little homemade card and brought it to Mama on Christmas and said, Mama, I got you something, Mama. Do you like it? The little boy said a while ago to me about that high. He said, did you get my card? Did you get my card? The little boy said the other day to me, he said, I'm the one that put the Reese peanut butter cup under your door. See, I've been on both sides. I know what it is to get the shoes. I know what it is to give them. I know what it is to get the suit as a poor lad. And I know what it is to give a suit to a poor lad. I know what it is to be in college and get on my knees before the final exams and say, dear God, I can't pay my bill. No way in the world I can see how I can stay in school. I know what it is. I know what it is to get a check in the mail and to open it, open the letter. There's a check there for enough to pay my bill. I know what that's like. I also know what it's like to find some student that's having a tough time making it and stick a check in the mail and say they use this to stay in college. I know what it's like. I've been on both sides. I believe that's why God gave me a poor childhood, because I think God was getting me ready for this great Chicagoland area, for our little bus kids and the ghetto young people and those that have it tough. But I know I've been on the side of receiving the check in the mail. I've jumped up and down and said I can stay in school. I know the joy. I also know the joy of a note under my door. I'm a college student saying, preacher, I'd be home now if it weren't for you. I'd like to announce tonight, it's more fun to give it than it is to get it. It's fun to get it. It's more fun to give it. Not many of you have been on both sides. Percentage-wise, most of you adults have not known both sides. And hardly any of you First Baptist teenagers have known both sides. But I know. And I'm here to say it is more blessed to give than to receive. I know what it is for some young preacher who loves me to have me at his church. One of our preacher boys had me at his church. And he said, preacher, let me do something. And I said, what is it, son? He said, just come with me. He took me downtown, stopped in front of a men's shop. Said, come on in here. I want to do something for you, preacher. And I said, what is it? He said, I want to buy you a suit. We walked in the Goodwill store. And but I'll be honest. I was embarrassed about it. And I didn't want to take it. But I still have the suit. He bought me a nice suit. I know the joy. I don't need the suit. I don't need the Reese's peanut butter cup. God knows I don't need the Reese's peanut butter cup. But I like the love that comes with it. I also know what it is to take my heroes in the faith down to a men's clothing store and say, Dr. Rice, Dr. Porter, Dr. Lee, Dr. Vic, Dr. Jones, I want to do something for you. What is it, Brother Hiles? I want to buy you a suit. I know what it's like to see them as they try the suit on. I've been on both sides. The suit that I have now on tonight, which I think I look real nice in. Of course, physique like this, you look nice in most anything. Face like this. I used to say, Dr. Rice, that's a pretty suit. He said, yeah, but it's a face that sets it off. I said, yeah, it sets off burglar alarms and fire alarms and Roman candles. But the suit I have tonight, a preacher who said, I kept him in the ministry years ago, who said he never would have been a preacher to this day or this day if I hadn't helped him. Probably almost two decades ago, he took me down and bought me the suit. I know that joy. I also know the joy of watching some dear older preacher whom I love to love try a suit on and I pay the check. I'd like to tell you something, folks, tonight. I know, been on both sides. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm not saying it's not fun to receive. I think it's a blessed thing. The Bible didn't say it is blessed to receive and not blessed to give and not blessed to receive. The Bible said it is more blessed to give, which means it is blessed to receive. But you watch the little child, Christmas, as she or he opens the big box that you've been saving for him for Christmas, and that he's opened four times already and wrapped back up, and which he investigated in the attic while you were going shopping one day. Thank you, children. Thank you for not telling us that you know. But you watch it. Watch his face when he opens it. There it is. I know what it is for my sister to buy me the first new bicycle I ever owned, the Western Flyer bicycle from Western Auto Store on Jefferson Avenue in Dallas, Texas. When she worked at Pollock Paper Company and made $12 a week and paid $1 a week on a bicycle for me, $25. I know what it is to get my first new bicycle. Somebody gave it to me. I also know what it is to take some little boy that I've never owned a bicycle. Take him to a bicycle shop and say, son, pick one out. It was blessed when my sister gave me the first bicycle I ever owned, the first new one I ever owned. I'd owned some used ones but and some stolen ones. But I mean, the first brand, that was blessed. I'm not minimizing that. It's a marvelous thing. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's 10,000 times more blessed to see the face on some little type that has his first one because of you. I know what it's like to open presents. I, more than anybody else in this room, would know what it's like to be spoiled. But I also know what it's like to give. And I want to say tonight, on this last Sunday night before Christmas Day. You're going to miss the blessedness of Christmas if you just receive. That same little child opens that box, and but that little child has something for Mama. I mean, paid a dollar and got a quart of perfume. I mean, Mama ain't never had that much perfume before. And as Mama opens the package, the eyes get bigger than they were when they opened the package. And they watch Mama's eyes to see if she smiles just right. And there's nothing quite as embarrassing as to be on trial. You got to smile. Everybody's looking at you. And you go, oh, that's just what I wanted. There's no way you can put on. There's two things you never do. One is, you can't ever meet their expectation if you put on. And number two is, you never can convince anybody you don't recognize that you do recognize them. Hello, you know me? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. I learned a long time ago the best way to do it is just say, you got the foggiest idea. Who are you, buddy? I don't know. But all across, the fellow said this morning, right here in this room, in this auditorium, he's here tonight. He said, you remember me? I said, no, sir. He said, December 5th, 1975. And I can't remember 1980. I can't remember all of 81. But I mean, there's no way to do it. There's no way that you can. And but the child looks expectantly. And then if the child gets the response, the child wanted Mama to give. And Mama says, and Mamas can do this better than Daddy's. Mamas have a way of faking it to look real. They can say, oh, my, wow, that's exactly what I wanted. Now, Dad sort of, pretty good deal there, buddy. Yeah. I like that sock. Got the other one last year. Too bad they aren't the same color. But Mamas can fake it. But I'll guarantee you, any little child that's made a gift for Mama, when Mama opens it and gives that Mama expression, oh, that's exactly what I wanted. What is it? Ask the child if it's more blessed to give than to receive. Of course it is. No box is so contains a present that's so delightful to receive as does the box that has been being opened by one to whom you've given. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's something else this passage means. You can't get it just with that. There's something else here. It means not only is it better to give than receive, but it means it's better to give in than to win out. Did you hear me? That's what this verse teaches. This verse means to yield. It is better to yield than to have your way. It's better to give in than to win out. Now, I've been on both sides. I've been in the car at Soul Street and Sibley, side by side with a reckless driver that wants to beat me to this little spot down here where it becomes one lane. I've been on both sides. I've been on the side that's where the one lane is. I've been on this side. And I've watched him carefully. I've been there. And I've looked at the light over here, seen this turning caution, because I was going to leave when it turned caution. Look both ways, see the car coming, and then the minute that caution, I, woo, take off. And then leave him in my dust. And get down to the little place down there, and then just before he does, then pull over in front of him, and then grin. And look in the rearview mirror as he goes, I've been there. Occasionally, Occasionally. I've looked over and saw there's a fellow in bigger hurry than I was. And I've just said, go ahead. I do that better when it's ice on the street. Or if I'm on a bicycle. But I just go ahead. And I've seen him wave as he passes me. Like that. That's what this verse means. It's more blessed to give and receive. It's also more blessed to give in than to win. I've had my way. I've argued, fought, got my way, bowed my stubborn back and neck, resisted. I've been there. A few times I've given in. And I've got news for you. There's no victory so hollow as the victory of having your own way. There's no joy so shallow or short-lived as the joy of leaving your dust in somebody else's face. I've sought vengeance. I've said, I'll get him back. It's the last thing I'd do. Pretty brick of back. I can lower my blood splatter if I'll get him. If I don't die with high blood pressure, I'll get him off. I've been there. I'm sorry to say, too often I've picked up the bow of vengeance, the arrow of revenge, and shot it toward another. Too many times I picked up the arrow that he shot at me and shot it back to him. Or picked up the stone that had it his fingerprints and hurled the stone back to him. But a few times, I've turned the other cheek. And I want to announce, ladies and gentlemen, that it is more blessed to give in than to win out. Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, about every problem in this church could be solved if we'd just take this one line, it is more blessed to give in than to win out. I mean, practically all of our differences are, this is what I want. You didn't treat me right. I didn't get what I wanted. It's mine. Like a little child said, mine. I fought back. I've gotten my way. Let me tell you tonight about a lady I'm proud of, and I won't call her name, and she'll know if she's here. She may be. She'll know who she is, and her husband will know, and nobody else in this world will know. A little couple came to my office a few weeks ago. And he said, Brother Hiles, we're having trouble. it's never just one person's fault, of course. But he said, we're having trouble. And I said, So I talked to him, and I talked to her alone and to him alone. And she said to me, well, every time we seek counsel, it's always from a man. And the man always sides with my husband. Now, there's a reason for that, folks. The man's always right. That's preaching, ain't it? Can you feel the power of God moving across this building tonight? And I said to her, I said, ma'am, you're missing something mighty wonderful in life. She said, what? I said, let him have his way. And Mrs. Bullard said, this little lady said, Brother Heil, I've got my rights too. Now look at me. She said, I've got my rights too. And I said to her, you don't look very pretty right now. I've got my rights. If you ever want to see an ugly bunch of women, go to an ERA rally. Just go to one. I said one time before, I'm not sure it was here, I said across the country, I'm glad a lot of those gals are lesbians. I'd hate for a man to have one of them. I mean, the honest truth is, look at their faces. And of course, I'm not being truthful when I say that, because being a lesbian is a sin, and I'm not being truthful when I say that, but the ugliest crowd of women you ever see in the world are those ERA. That's the Equal Rotten Association. Ugliest crowd in the world. The second ugliest crowd are the ladies right now that are not liking what I'm saying. Yeah. She said, I've got my rights. But I said, you're not happy. And you won't be happy till you give in.
Well, she said, why doesn't he give in?
And I said,
you're on his side.
And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not on his side. I'm on your side. Because the one that gives in is the happiest one.
It's not the guy who gets his rights. It's not the one who says, I want my way. No, sir.
It's the one who gives in. That's what this scripture is. It's more blessed to give in than to win out. That's what it teaches. That's it. She got a little peeved at me. I thought she wouldn't come back, maybe. Last week, I asked her for another, I gave her another poem and wondered if she'd keep it. She came in the office last week. She's a lady in her early middle years, 55 or so. But she came in the office last week. I never saw such a pretty look on a woman's face in my life. Or prettier look. And she said, Brother Hiles, I've done what you said. She said, hasn't been easy. But she said, I've tried to give in. I've tried not to get my way, and she said, Brother Hiles, it's really right. And a smile spread across her face. And I don't say this to many women because it's a little dangerous to say it. But I said, may I say something? You're twice as pretty as you were when you were in this office before. I said, you found what happiness is all about. Folks, I wish we could learn that. I wish the teachers at the school could learn that. I wish the members of the staff could learn that. I wish the folks at the college, I wish the college and high school and grade school and junior high administrators and staff could learn that. I wish the young people in this church could learn that.
I mean, it's not saying, okay, I'll give in. I won't enjoy it, but I'll give in. I won't have my way, but I'll suffer.
That's not it at all. The one that's the happiest is the one that gives in.
It's more blessed, said our Lord. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But it means more than that. It means it's more blessed to give in
than it is to win out. There's something else in this passage of Scripture.
Not only is it more blessed to give than to receive, but it's larger than that. More blessed to give in than to win out. But also, it's better or more blessed to give it up than to keep it back.
Now, that's the hardest thing. That's the graduate school course.
I mean, it's more blessed to give it up. The person is more blessed who's giving to the building program than the one that's not giving but could. And I'm not trying to raise money now. I'm trying to raise Christians now. A while ago, I wanted to get some money to build a building. Tonight, I want to have the kind of people that have the more blessed, that larger happiness, that longer happiness. It is more blessed. It is a larger blessedness and a longer blessedness to give than to receive, to give in than to win out, and to give it up than to keep it back.
Now, you're looking at a fellow tonight who's a mighty happy man. I was thinking as I watched the young folks a while ago, I was just thinking, I wish you were young again. I sometimes wonder, can I still communicate with them? When some of them go bad and they break my heart, I sometimes wonder, reckon maybe a younger man could do a better job. But it's true. You're looking at a happy man tonight. I don't recall the last day I was melancholy. I don't recall it. I don't recall the last day I spent depressed. I don't remember the last day. I just don't know the last time I was really on the bottom. But I don't have any money. It's all comes in, goes out. Comes in, goes out. Comes in, goes out, goes out. Comes in, goes out, goes out, goes out, goes out. I haven't got any money.
I've learned something. I've learned it myself, and I've learned it by watching other people.
When a church calls me and says we're having trouble, the pastor never says, some man on welfare is causing me trouble. Never is.
Never says, some little widow and her little orphan little child who has no daddy, they're trying to split the church.
Never is that way.
I mean, a dozen times a week I get calls from across America. Preachers who consider me their pastors at least five times this weekend already, and one tonight before I go to bed, about a preacher having trouble. And it never is. Some little widow is causing the trouble, or some little senior citizen who's living on a pension is causing the trouble. It's always somebody who's selfish, who's hoarding it. Somebody famous in the congregation. I'm not saying all wealthy people cause trouble. I'm saying it's harder for wealthy people not to cause trouble than poor people. Because wealthy folks are used to running everything. If they can't run the church, then they get a little unhappy about that sometimes. Up in Maine, tonight there's a young preacher and his wife named Larry and Chris Stromberg. I recommended Larry to a little church up there, that little church building. Didn't have any people much. I say not much. I mean two or three people is all they had. Just two or three. And I said, Larry, you grew up in this church from birth. I'll send you $500 a month for 10 months. That's $5,000. The other night we took an offering. We sent him how much, Herman? I think about $2,400, wasn't it? About a check for $2,400 as just to help him a little while longer. That's $7,400 we sent him. And a thought about my birthday. It's been now, oh, my soul. How long has it been? 15, 16, 17 years ago. I was baptizing up in the old baptistry up here. My birthday was almost over. Birthday was on Sunday that year, and birthday was almost over. A little boy, older primary, younger junior, little old Larry, who's now pastoring. He met me at the door just before I walked out, and he said, Preacher, I got something for your birthday. And I said, What is it, Larry? He gave me a card. On the card it said, Happy birthday to my preacher, the best preacher in the whole world. And Scotch taped on the card were two quarters. Now, folks, I bet you a dollar. No, I can't do that. I'm not a gambling man. I'll bet you 50 cents. Larry Stromberg got more joy out of giving me those two quarters on my birthday when he was a little boy than he's gotten out of all the $7,400 his church has sent him. I mean, the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than receive, but it means more than that. It means it's more blessed to give in than to win out. More blessed to give it up than to keep it back. And then, lastly, it's more blessed to give out. I mean give out. I'm talking about poop, not giving something out. I'm talking about just give out. Now, you folks up here, you don't know how to use language like that because you've been taught good grammar. But now where I came from, we didn't care anything. We toted it. We didn't get rid of anything. We got shed of it. Just like the pilgrims talk when they landed from the Mayflower. But we didn't come in at night and say, I'm tired. Sometimes we'd say, I'm tired. But we didn't say, I'm tired. We said, I'm just give out. It's better to give out than to give up. I've often said, rather wear out than rust out. I'd rather die trying than not try. I had rather be dead than red. And I'd rather be a dead hero than live coward. People all the time are saying, Brother Hiles, one of our dear ladies, finest lady we have, she loves me. She's a dear lady. She and her husband, office of the day, and she said, Pastor, you've got to take care of yourself. I mean, yesterday. I was down at the office yesterday morning by 7:15. I worked all day. Last night, appointment at 6. Appointment at 6:30. Appointment at 6:45. Deacon met at 6:55. Ordination service at 7:15. Wedding yesterday afternoon, 4:30. Appointments till, good night, almost 11. Left the church last night at 10 minutes after midnight and got to bed about, I guess, maybe 1:15 in the morning. Up again this morning at 5:45. That's my life. The lady said, and often they say it because they love me, said, Brother Hiles, you got to take care of yourself. You're not going to live to be an old man.
Well, I done have. I remember the doctor in Marshall, Texas, when I was 22 years old. He said, Reverend, you'll be in the grave by the time you're 25. That's what he said. He said, you won't live to 25. Nobody can do what you do and live to be 25. Well, I just went home singing, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Yeah, that's what the Bible says.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, preacher, how do you do it?
Isaiah 40:31. That's it. It's a lot better to give out than to give up. Everybody's resting so you can do something when you're old. And then you rested so much you got arthritis and bursitis and lumbago, 7-year itch and everything else time you get 55, 60 years old.
I was in Garland one night late. And I got tingling over here about midnight. Got tingling over here. This arm just started tingling. And I couldn't get my breath. Now, the reason I couldn't get my breath is because I was worried about my arm tingling. I didn't know that. Probably I just leaned against the arm and gone to sleep. But arm started tingling, and folks have been saying, you won't live to be 40. No, sir. Well, you watch it. I'm going to. And said, preacher, you just wear yourself out. And I felt that tingle. I said, that's it. Jim Lyons lived two houses down the road from us. And I called Jim. I said, Jim, rush me to the hospital. Old Jim came down, laid me in the back seat of the car. I was having a heart attack. And laying back there, old Jim said, preacher, how you doing? I said, Jim, I think this is it. I told him where the insurance papers were. I told him what I wanted, how I wanted it. I planned my funeral service. I didn't know Jim was laughing in the front seat. He didn't know whether to laugh or not. You laugh something like that, and then when the guy drops dead on you, it's sort of embarrassing. And so they rushed me to the hospital over in Baylor Hospital in Dallas, and the coronary department there. And you know, funny thing, they sent an ambulance out. I've never understood this. Doctors, I've never understood this. They sent an ambulance out. Take off, pass everything up, almost have a wreck, 80 miles an hour, bubble flashing up there, and a siren blowing, and grab you right quick and put the oxygen on your face and rush you down there and set you in the corner of a dumb hospital and keep you there 2 hours before they take a test. I never understood that. See, I told him, I said, folks, I'm going to die while you're just talking about what you're going to do with me. I said, take Kodak, take some pictures of me. And finally, they gave me the test. Went to Dr. Cobb. He's a deacon at First Baptist Church in Dallas. I never met him before. He was on duty that night at the hospital. Took the test that night. They said, no, the cardiogram show normal. Your heart is cold, but every other night it's okay. And they checked my head. They found it empty. And I went on back to his office, and he gave me all kinds. You know, upper GI, colon, cardiogram, EKG and everything they had, they gave it to me, all of it. And so he called me down. He said, after it was all over, he said, now Reverend won't talk to you. He said, the one thing wrong with you, he said, you're going to wear out before you're 40. He said, you can't keep it up like this. He said, you're an old man now. And I was only about, I was about 29 or 30. He said, you got a spastic stomach. That's a term they use when they can't figure out what's wrong with you. Like a virus. Ever notice that? It's always a virus. Doc looks at you with a dumb look in his face and got the foggiest out. He said, you got a virus. I'm sorry about that, fellas. This is a virus. You know, you examine you for a week and say, you're not well. But the doctor said, preacher, reverend, He said, I'm a Baptist too. And he said, Reverend, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you're wearing your body out. And he said, you won't live until you're 40.
And I took off for the house singing, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the answer. Now I'm 55. I've preached over 31,000 sermons. And they're just as long as they ever were. And I'm just as loud mouthed as I ever was. And I get mad just as quick as I ever did. And I've seen over 250,000 souls walk the aisle in my churches, professing faith in Christ as Savior. I believe I can say this tonight. As far as I know, I feel stronger right now than I did when I was 30. But I felt lousy when I was 30. I really do. I dare you kids down here. I dare you, wrestling team, keep up with me. I just dare you. Just get up when I get up. In fact, just get up. Be an improvement for some of you. Only difference is you've got somebody trying to hold you down. But I mean, just in the morning, just get up when my alarm clock goes off and go to bed when I go to bed at night, and you just follow me around, and I'll guarantee you, you won't be able to wrestle next week. Wrestle. That's Texas, too. Wrestle. Well, good night. It's pronounced wrestle because it's spelled R-A-S-S-L-E. But I honestly believe I can do more work today than I could do when I was 25 years of age. I'm no fool. I know I'm not as strong as I was. And I'm no fool. I know I can't handle as many men as I could when I was a paratrooper. I could handle 10 men as a paratrooper. I doubt if I could handle 3 of you fellows tonight. I could handle 10 like you. With both hands tied behind you. I'm here to testify to you, and I'm going to close. I'm here to testify 4 things to you. And this is what the Savior had in mind when he inspired the writer to write these words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. What does it mean? It means it is more blessed to give than to receive. It means it's more blessed to give in than to win out. It means it's more blessed to give it up than to keep it back. That means it's more blessed to give out than to give up. It's Christmas time, folks. This is my Christmas sermon to you tonight, this week, this year. This is my Christmas sermon. I know what I'm talking about. I've received. I probably shouldn't say this. I'm not sure I told you. Yeah, I told you. Say, about the old red Plymouth I had, that I prayed for another car, and so a fellow called me a distant state and told me to give me a new Olds, pick it out, and I didn't take it. I just wanted to know if God's still up there. There's a man in this room tonight, drove $30,000 Mercedes Benz in front of me. Said, preach, it's yours. I bought it for you. It's yours. He's in this room tonight. I want you to have it, he said, one of the finest men I know. I want you to have it. $30,000 Mercedes Benz. And I said, I don't want that. I want to do with it. I wanted his love, but didn't want the Mercedes Benz. I probably shouldn't say this now. When I heard my friend, Bob Keyes, had had a heart attack. He's in heaven now. I've been in heaven 70 years. When I heard he had a heart attack, I went to see him. Bob couldn't work anymore, and he and Sybil were having it mighty tough. And I said, Bob, you and Sybil. When Bob got up on his feet, I said, go down to the Oldsmobile house and pick you out a car, and I'll make the payments for you. I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm doing the same thing now for somebody else. I'm making car payments now for somebody else. I've been on both sides. I was down at the Civic Center one day at night when you drove a new car out there and gave it to me, and I don't want any more. I don't ever want another one. But you just keep the Reese peanut butter cups coming in. That's all I want. But I've been on both sides. when Bob died. I went to see him the last day, last full day he lived. He knew he was dying. He said, Jack, he said, this is it. He said, I've had a heart attack, lived through it, had surgery for an aneurysm, I lived through that. He said, they give me up dead twice, but all the time I thought I was going to make it. He said, I knew I'd come through, but he said, this is it. I said, Bob, as I turned to walk away, I said, Bob, I'm going to do something never done before. Because I don't do this to men. But I knew it's the last time I'd see him until I arrived at the Golden Gates. I reached down and kissed him on the forehead. I said, I love you, Bob. Bob and I were buddies when your age. He and I were in the high school choir and the junior high choir together. He sang tenor, and I just moved my lips. At the request of the leader. I played pitcher and he played shortstop on the baseball team. I pitched the softball team. He played third base on the city championship softball team. He and I threw paper routes. I threw one down Idaho Street. He threw one down Maryland Street. One block paper routes together. Dallas Times Herald routes. I reached down and kissed his brow. And the last thing Bob ever said to me just before he died, looked up and I kissed him on the brow, and he went, yeah. And I cried and he cried. But on his deathbed, he said, Jack, I want to thank you for being my friend. He said, we couldn't have had a car if it hadn't been for you. He said many other things. It is more blessed to give and to receive. Father, I pray you'd help our folks to get the idea.